Penguin Random House Audio presents How Contagion Works: Awareness and Community in Times of Global Crises by Paolo Giordano, translated from the Italian by Alex Valente. Originally published in the Italian language as Nel Contagio by Paolo Giordano, read for you by David Thorpe, with an introduction by Paolo Giordano.
Hi, my name is Paolo Giordano. I am a physicist and a novelist, and I am the author of How Contagion Works. I'm recording this message from my house in Rome. I cannot really go out at the moment, because as you probably know, the whole of Italy has been in a state of emergency lockdown since the 9th March 2020. When the isolation began, I decided to use this weird, empty time to write this essay, How Contagion Works, a short chronicle of this lockdown, but also an attempt to explain in a simple and clear way what is happening. Clarity has been an issue of this contagion since the very beginning, in every country. Information has often been inaccurate and confused and emotional, and that's partly the reason why so many people have been caught unprepared. I thought it would be useful to go back to my background in physics and explain some of the maths and the numbers behind all this. But I also wanted this to be a wider reflection on the many things that this epidemic is unraveling, especially in regards to our relationship with nature and the environment. This period of forced isolation has given me the strange opportunity to elaborate on these thoughts, which is why I wrote this short book almost breathlessly, not something I usually do. I hope it will be of some help to you. And I hope it will inspire us all to reflect on what this emergency means for all of our lives, so that when it's over, we don't just go back to the way things were before. Thank you for listening.
Grounded. The COVID-19 epidemic is set to be the most significant health emergency of our time. Not the first, not the last, maybe not even the most horrific. Most likely, in the end, the death toll won't be any higher than any other illness. And yet, 3 months since its debut, it has reached its first milestone. SARS-CoV-2 is the first virus to spread this quickly on a global scale. Many others, similar in nature, such as its predecessor, SARS-CoV, have been quickly dealt with. Some, such as HIV, have been hiding in the shadows for years. SARS-CoV-2 had more gumption, and its boldness has revealed something we had long known but had been unable to measure with precision until now. The multiple levels and layers that connect us to each other everywhere and the complexity of the world we inhabit, its social, political, financial motives, and its interpersonal and psychological structures too. I am writing this on a rare February the 29th, a Saturday of this leap year. The confirmed global cases of infection have surpassed the 85,000 threshold, almost 80,000 in China alone, and the death toll is around 3,000. These numbers have been my silent companions for the past month. Even now, the Johns Hopkins University interactive map is open in front of me. The areas of infection are identified by red circles in stark contrast against the grey background. Perhaps another choice of colours might have been better, less alarming. But we all know how this works. Viruses are red. Emergencies are red. China and Southeast Asia have disappeared beneath a giant red stain. But the entire world is pockmarked, and the rash is bound to get worse. Italy, much to everyone's surprise, has also found itself leading the race in this anxious competition. This has happened entirely by chance. In a few days, suddenly, unexpectedly, other countries could find themselves in even worse conditions. At this moment of crisis, the expression "in Italy" has no meaning. There are no more borders, regions, neighbourhoods. The nature of what we're going through is above identities and cultures. The epidemic is the ultimate proof of how our world has become globalized, interconnected, inextricable. I know all this, and yet as I watch the red disc growing over Italy. I can't help but feel troubled by it, as we all are. My bookings for the next few days have been cancelled because of the containment procedures, some I called off personally, and I found myself surrounded by an unexpected emptiness, a predicament shared by many. We're living through a suspension of daily activities and routines, a pause in the usual rhythm of our lives, like one of those songs where the drums stop abruptly and the music seems to expand in the emptiness left behind. Schools are closed. Very few planes are moving across the sky. Solitary footsteps echo in museum corridors. Everywhere is shrouded in more silence than usual. I decided to make use of this void by writing. Writing can sometimes be an anchor that helps us stay grounded and hold back fear. But there is also another reason. I don't want to lose what the epidemic is revealing about ourselves. Once the emergency is over, any temporary awareness will also disappear. That is the nature of illnesses. As you listen to this, the situation will have changed, the numbers will be different, the epidemic will have spread further. It will either have reached every corner of the globe, or it will have been stopped. But some of the reflections emerging from the contagion will still apply. Because what is happening isn't a random accident or a scourge, and it's nothing new either. It has happened before, and it will happen again. Nerdy afternoons. I remember afternoons back in my first years of high school when I'd spend all my time simplifying expressions. I'd copy a long line of symbols out of the book, then reduce it to a concise, understandable result. 0, minus half, a squared. The world outside of the window would darken and the landscape would give way to the reflection of my face lit up by my desk lamp. Those were peaceful afternoons. Bubbles of order at an age when everything inside and outside of me, especially inside, seemed to tend towards chaos. Long before writing, maths was my trick to keep anxiety at bay. To this day, there are mornings when I wake up and I improvise calculations and numeric sequences. It's usually a symptom that something's wrong. I suppose all of this makes me a nerd, and I don't mind. Plus, these days, it seems that maths isn't just a nerdy pastime after all, but rather the indispensable tool in understanding what is happening to us and keeping our irrational tendencies in check. Epidemics are mathematical emergencies, first and foremost. Because maths isn't the science of numbers, not really, it's the science of relations. It describes the bonds and the exchanges between different entities, regardless of what these entities might be made of, abstracting them into letters, functions, vectors, points, and planes. The contagion is an infection of our relations. Contagion by numbers. We could see it gathering like dark storm clouds on the horizon, but China is far away, and, anyway, stuff like that would never happen here. When the contagion arrived, in full force, it left us all stunned. To find a way through the disbelief, I turned to maths, starting with the SIR model, the invisible bone structure of every epidemic. A notable distinction. SARS-CoV-2 is the virus, COVID-19 the illness. They have unfriendly, impersonal names, maybe chosen to limit their emotional impact, but they are more precise than the popular coronavirus. So I will be using them instead. To simplify even further, and to avoid misunderstandings with the 2003 SARS contagion, I'll be abbreviating SARS-CoV-2 to CoV-2 throughout. CoV-2 is the most elementary form of life we know. To understand its actions, we need to inhabit its dumb intelligence, look at it like it looks at us. And remember that CoV-2 doesn't care about us, our age, gender, nationality, personal preferences.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?